Hello, everybody. This episode of the Smoking Tire Podcast is brought to you by Dylan Optics Sunglasses. You know those awesome glasses that you see me wearing in every episode of the video show? Those are Dylan Optics Sunglasses. They have this cool matte finish lens on them, and it's a special coating. It doesn't reflect. It's really nice. If you're on camera or if you just want to look a little different, they have different colored lenses that are matte finish. They look totally normal from the inside out when you're wearing them. And in fact, the NIR lens technology helps keep your eyes feeling energized throughout the day, filtering out a lot of the harmful UV rays. And I wear them all day, every day, pretty much, and they are great. If you go to thesmokingtire.com and go to the Partners tab, click on that Dylan banner. If you buy a pair of Dylan Optics sunglasses, any size, any style, any color, I will send you a Smoking Tire t-shirt for supporting the people who support the show. Then, there's Beeline Coffee. We have our own roast at Beeline Coffee, the Smoking Tire Roast. I officially had named it the Roasted Tire, and they did change the packaging to reflect that, so thank you to them for that. This is going to be the last month. This month is the last month of the Roasted Tire before we come out with a new blend. But everyone who's tried the Roasted Tire really, really likes it. If you go to my Instagram, like I put some pictures of it up and asked people who had tried it what they thought. There's some reviews up there. Everybody likes it. Everyone I serve it to says it's absolutely delicious. I gave some to Ben Collins, the Stig. He was a fan, and it's really good. This is the last month for it, and then we're going to change the formula and have a new Roasted Tire. But I bought like 6 pounds of this stuff because I really want to drink it until we develop the next one. It's really good. Code TST gets you 15% off anything at BeelineCoffee.com. Big or small, any order, subscription plans, you name it. 15% off with code TST. Also, live podcasting. We are doing pretty much all our podcasts live on YouTube now. So if you follow us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or subscribe on YouTube, you should get a notification when we're going live. We announced it earlier in the day. We are using a feature called Super Chat on the live shows, which allows you, the listener, the viewer, to for a small donation, and in fact, you can choose the donation amount, allows you to ask us questions that will appear separately from the comments feed in the show, and we will answer your questions on the show if we in the second half of the show. So once we post that link for the live show, even if we're not podcasting yet, you can go to that link and ask a question in the super chat, and we will answer it in the second half of our podcast for a small donation. And you choose the donation, and that's during all the live shows which happen on our YouTube channel. Subsequently, we will then put those live podcasts, we take them down, we put our normal ads on, and then we'll put them back up. Okay, let's get on with the show. On the show today, we've got one of our favorite people. He's a local. We love him. Mr. Manuel Carrillo III. He has just peaced out of corporate America, and he's here on Fun Employment talking about his Project 9/11 that we are trying to get to have it run in 7 days. This is a good story. I love having Manuel on. Here you go, Smoking Tire Podcast.
Smoking Tire Podcast. Hello, what's happening, people?
Hey.
Welcome on this Thursday afternoon. Manuel Carrillo Tres in the house.
Certainly.
What's happening? I'm sorry I made you put headphones over that hair.
It's okay.
You should have known better, because last time I made you put headphones over the hair also.
It's always styled.
We should trade, because my hair, I'm wearing a hat for a reason.
And because I'm here.
Totally.
I have the same hair, though. That's why I have to style it all the time. Yeah, very you puffy.
So this, you're him. If he gave a shit, it would be that.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
What's happening, guys?
Living the dream.
Are you?
Yeah.
Are you? You quit.
Yeah,
you're
I quit.
Fun employment.
Yeah, I quit life. I mean,
that almost was like a Jared from Silicon Valley. Like, I quit life. Yeah. No, you quit your job, though.
Quit my job. Yeah. Yeah.
Internet brands, goodbye.
Yep. After 4 years.
Now what are you going to do with your life?
Now I'm just pitching to every outlet out there.
So you freelance?
You freelance? Is that the move right now?
That's correct, yeah. So yeah, I was writing my Lamborghini Aventador Roadster S review today and just trying to find a home for that right now. And yeah.
Well, that's kind of
that
weird.
Launch was like just, right?
That was yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah. And it's still happening today for the second wave.
Yeah, they're we didn't respond fast enough, and I didn't have there wasn't room for me on it.
Oh really?
So how was it, brother?
It was good. I haven't been behind the wheel of a Lamborghini since the fall of 2016.
Was that an Aventador?
That was that day I drove an Aventador LP640. Oh. I drove a Huracan.
Aventador 700.
Sorry, 700, yes. Yeah. So 700, and then a Huracan, and then a Huracan GT3 race car.
Oh, so that was that, dream racing? That sounds like a dream racing experience.
It was the launch for the Pirelli P0, like the most recent generation.
Yeah,
of
yeah. Gangster. Yeah.
So yeah, that was like the day I got to fly in the fighter jet.
What?
Yeah.
What do you mean? What fighter jet? You just drop it like, oh, it was the day I flew in the fighter jet. Like, we all know what you're talking
about.
Press launch perk.
Yeah, that was a crazy press launch because we all got like 30 minutes in a Marchetti S221 Italian trainer jet.
It's for a tire?
Yeah.
That sounds like it has everything to do with tires.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally.
Tire launches are the best because they're fucking, because tires are so boring. They just stuff the launch with whatever the fuck they can. But, you know, did you go to the pilot's board?
I didn't go to that
but
one.
But you heard about it, right?
Yes.
With like the swag that would fill this table and like the 19 Michelin starred chef meals.
Right, right.
Fuck. I flew on the Goodyear blimp in Ohio for a Goodyear tire launch. Had nothing to do with anything.
Of course
but
not.
Of course you fly in the
fucking world.
Yeah,
it's all marketing.
Okay, wait. So fighter jet?
Fighter jet, yeah, yeah.
And race car, GT3 race car.
Yeah. So we got a, yeah, I got to drive a Lamborghini Huracan GT3 race car, and then immediately after that, I got to ride in a GT3 level Ferrari race car.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
which was better?
They felt about the same, because they're built to relatively the same specs.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, at that point, you can't really tell. Road car to road car, the Ferrari's better.
I prefer the Ferrari as well. Yeah, yeah.
But once I get to the race level, everything kind of starts getting to be the same.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
I drove the Huracan GT3 as well, and it was not the GT3, the fucking Super Trofeo.
Okay.
The race car,
yeah.
Whatever. Yeah, not the GT3, the Super Trofeo.
Sure.
But it was very fun, and it was very easy to drive, just like a Huracan.
That's awesome.
Incredibly easy. I mean,
I wonder if race cars have gotten easier to drive than, like, I mean, 30 years ago, 40
to me,
years ago,
the one. I mean, I don't have a whole ton of experience, but to me, they have. The newer the race car, the typically the easier it is to drive.
I wonder if, you know, let's say like 40 years ago, were race cars difficult to drive just because that's the hardware we had, or did they think that meant you're going faster, and now they've learned like, oh, actually, if it's a little compliant and easier, it's easier on the driver can carry more speed.
I think racing tire compounds now are more forgiving than ever before.
Yeah.
And that makes it easier.
Okay. And I also think that with the sensitivity of the throttle and stuff in like race engines, only having two pedals makes your life a whole lot easier.
And
paddle shifting in race cars makes them way less scary than trying to heel toe. I mean, it's not take your hand off. You're just driving stick, but like back in the day, I drove like the E92 M3 GT, the Conti car, whatever it was.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, hard. Like, it was actually, like, I could drive stick just fine, but, like, this was hard. I don't know why, but it was.
Well, at that pace, it's
at
different,
right? Yeah, and then when you put paddles in the car, it becomes pretty easy, you know? I don't know. It does.
Yeah.
Tim, is our live going, is our live looking okay?
We're still bad in terms of
the stream quality is bad.
Status, but some people seem to be saying that everything's looking fine.
All right, well, we're gonna do the best we can. If your stream sucks, I apologize. It's very hot in LA today and very windy, and so there's power lines down and like crazy shit is going on.
I thought it was raining today.
Crazy shit is going on, and yeah, right. Mm-hmm. The wind sounded like rain.
Yeah.
Almost. Yeah. Wait. So back to the racetrack. Where did all this Pirelli shit take place?
Las Vegas Motor Speedway.
Oh, okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was at Dream Racing, probably.
It was
their facility.
Through their program.
Mm-hmm. It was fun. Okay, so so you drove the 2016 Lambos, and now Aventador S Roadster.
Yes.
The big deal with the S is four-wheel steering.
Yeah.
Which, to me, was a huge difference. Did you feel it? Did you notice a difference?
I noticed a difference, and it was it felt more docile.
Mm-hmm. Much more docile.
Yeah, it's in my review, I wrote that, you know, this was a very daily drivable Lamborghini Aventador.
Mm-hmm.
And 25 years ago, you could only say something like that about an NSX. Now you can say it about a Lamborghini, the top level Lamborghini.
Yeah.
You know, so not an Audi R8.
Of the Aventador S Roadster. The R8 is daily drivable as well.
Yeah.
I overheated one in Miami.
Yep.
The Aventador S.
It's like 100 degrees.
It was very hot.
Going 5 miles an hour. You fairly stated that the car was not meant to do that.
To sit in traffic for an hour and a half?
In 95-degree weather, that was pretty brutal.
But the four-wheel steering at the racetrack did help the car turn in a lot. A lot.
Yeah, because
big difference.
Yeah, turn-in's really good on that car, and I like the compromise of, or the balance, actually, of steering feel coming through, but also a level of sophistication of the overall engineering of the steering system. And then beyond that, four-wheel steering just makes it feel more planted, more stable. It, it's a joy to drive.
Probably a really good value, too, at $600,000.
$460,000.
Oh, yeah. That's a good value.
Yeah. So, you know?
The coupe, the Aventador S coupe I drove, the sticker was like $525,000. I wonder what... Well, that's the base price, but ain't nobody getting no base car.
Right, right.
Base that shit price ain't price. Happening.
Yeah.
I think that's a model, Tim.
Jeez.
That's why I didn't pull it up.
Yeah, thanks. But it was remarkably nimble for an Aventador.
Right, and in part of our drive loop, they took us on to a narrower, more technical, more motorcycle appropriate road.
Wasn't it in Malibu?
It was in Malibu.
Were you on Latigo or something?
I can't remember what street it was, but after we went to Mulholland Drive, Mulholland Highway, and then there was a turnoff off that point.
Stunt Road.
I think that might have been it.
You probably went up Stunt, right on Schwerin, and then right up and over Payuma.
Yeah, that's
what Payuma and an Aventador, that's a narrow road and a very wide car. That's where you have the four carousels going down? Yeah, that's Payuma.
Yeah, so...
Probably fun.
Yeah, when I shared one of my videos on Facebook of the drive yesterday, our friend Jason Connor, he commented... Dude, that's not a road you want to put an Aventador on.
It's the wrong road for that.
Right, right. But not in that car. Four-wheel steering makes its wheelbase smaller, makes it feel more like a smaller supercar.
Did they bring out an older one?
No, they didn't.
Companies don't do that enough, where they make a change that, like...
They do it after 20 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you hadn't noticed, like, you know, if you had never driven a regular Aventador, you might not appreciate the four-wheel steering the way that... You had.
True.
I had.
But do they still offer the non-four-wheel steering one?
No.
Oh, so then it wouldn't hurt them at all.
All Aventadors now are S's.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I went to like a GTI launch long ago, and they had every generation there. But that was
a cool event. Wasn't I with you on...
San Francisco, probably.
Oh, no, okay. That was another
And then they shot us out of cannons.
It wasn't a tire launch. Oh, on the tire thing, did you fly in that jet fighter before you drove the cars or after?
We drove all the cars first, then they flew us in a helicopter from... Las Vegas Motor Speedway to Boulder City Airport, and then jets.
So you had no adrenaline at the end of that day. That's why if they reversed the order, you'd hate the cars. You wouldn't care.
We actually, they spaced the cars 200 miles apart. We took the jets between the cars. That's like what you would do on Gumball.
Yeah. If you're a billionaire, you fly a MiG there.
Have you done Gumball?
Back in the day.
Back in the day, okay. I did it back in 2015.
2006.
Okay, yeah.
Like forever ago. And then Bull Run.
It was
so long ago. Don't do those events.
I had a terrific time. Gumball Air was the shit.
Gumball Air? When I did it, it was so long ago they didn't do planes.
Okay.
Where did Gumball Air take you?
So that was the Stockholm to Las Vegas year. So we went from Amsterdam to Reno. 14
Amsterdam
hours.
To fucking Reno.
Yeah, well, Portland first because we had to
clear... They chartered a whole jet?
They chartered a whole jet for us and then two 747s just for the cars. Yeah, and so it was... I wasn't really drinking very much at that time in my life, but for Gumball Air, I made an exception.
Yeah.
And I went 14 hours straight up the whole time, drinking the whole way through, maybe doing some other things. And
is that what everybody was doing?
No, I was surprised. I thought that everybody...
I went on a totally solo bender, actually. Everyone slept.
Only
all the other wealthy party people just slept.
Only 10 people stayed up the whole time.
Then you immediately drove 600 miles.
Well, I was a passenger.
Were they all from Miami?
Yeah.
I think all 10 of you were a passenger at that point.
Yeah. For real.
No, I had a really nice nap from Reno to San Francisco. Yeah, that was
Wait,
a nice
you
day.
Flew to Reno just to drive to San Francisco?
So it gets really complicated here because we had to fly into Portland to clear customs. Then once we cleared customs, because Reno technically isn't an international airport, we had to clear customs at a proper international airport in Portland, then fly back to Reno, then get off the plane, enjoy our ticker tape parade, marching band. Reno marching band is there to welcome us, and yeah, it's just kind of random. And then we drove from Reno to San Francisco, and I was asleep most of the way.
I have to be completely honest. Everything about that sounds terrible. I mean, there's nothing.
It's a lot.
There's nothing appealing about that. That sounds like work.
It's a logistics nightmare. Yeah. Putting that together would be. That's what I'm afraid of. Is like someone just going, "Hey, here's your job for the next month or six months."
Yeah, and the on staff events people were a little bit on edge at times. Not all the time. You know, sometimes they get to party with us and be convivial, but yeah.
No, for the most part, they're making sure you clear customs, and there's like,
right.
You know, what 80 people from 40 countries.
It's a lot of moving parts.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We always found anytime I did one of those rallies that anytime there was an international component to it, a couple people had a real fucking bad day. You know what I mean? Anytime there was an international component,
someone's like, "Oh, I gave you the wrong passport." And they're like,
"Excuse
me."
It just went horribly wrong.
How many passports do you have?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For those of you listening live right now, we're going to enable this super chat feature, and the second half of the show, if you throw questions into the super chat, we will answer them in the second half of this show. So I'm hoping, last time we tried to do them like in real time, didn't really work out. So now you throw them in there, and then we'll stack them up, and we'll get to them at the end of the show. But I promise we will.
Right, like if you post a question on Super Chat now, it gets pulled into a list for us, and then we can go through them later instead of trying to follow the flow as people are arguing about volume. It seems like some people have too much volume, some people have not enough. I'm not sure what to do about that.
That went 50-50. Half the people are too loud and half the people are too quiet. It means we're doing correct.
Someone says 30% take Super Chat takes 30%, Matt. It sucks. That's still 70% more than nothing.
It's 70% more than nothing. I don't have another method right now. We're not going to start. I'm doing Patreon and shit yet, and there's already a plot. They take 30%, but they also give us a software platform. So there,
I can make that platform. I could do that.
I can fucking just put an LS. There was some really. Did you see that fucking Ferrari Formula Drift car?
Yes.
Yeah.
Catch on fire, burn to the ground.
Sadly, yes.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, you saw the beginning of the story. Well, Yay, Ferrari Formula Drift car.
And I saw it in person with you last Friday.
Tim, get us a picture of the Ferrari 599. No, not Turks.
Okay.
No, the Ferrari 599 Formula Drift car.
Oh, yes.
He took a 599.
That one.
And he put two superchargers on it, which is, I think Novatek made that.
Yeah.
And so here it is. It's fucking bitching, right? It sounds like a really good idea at the time. The driver, I mean, he looks very good looking, you know, with his dog. I mean, he probably fucks a lot, if I'm honest.
Especially with that dog photo. You put that in your Tinder or Bumble profile. Yeah, dude, you're getting all the trends.
His name is Federico Serifo.
Yeah, that's definitely a title card photo for his Tinder profile.
That's going to be a title card for mine.
But the car caught on fire in its first ever competition run.
Yeah.
Yes.
Actually, it's in its qualifying run, he crashed into whoever the other person was he was against and put them in the tire wall. And it was somebody like we know.
He was against Chelsea. Oh, when it caught on fire, he was against Chelsea DeNova.
Yeah, no, it was before. Sorry, okay. Yeah. And then, it definitely caught fire. But, A for effort, right?
I mean, he wants to try to fix it. I mean, you can't knock someone. Like, that's fun. You know,
of course
you're
it's
bringing
fun.
Bringing a twin turbo or a twin supercharged Ferrari to Formula D. You can hear it when it's driving. Like, it doesn't have the instant torque of all the LS engines. Like, you can hear it trying to, get up to speed to spin the tires and stuff. But it's awesome. You know, it sounds amazing. And
I mean,
that is a Forza car. That is what I would drive and build a Forza, for sure.
Dude, mm-hmm. I think. But all these Formula Drift drivers have awesome drift cars for, exhibition drifting. Why is he racing this fucking thing?
Yeah.
Turk isn't running his Ferrari engine car in competition.
True.
That's his, fuck around, make videos car. This guy could have a fuck around, make videos car, and he could buy another 599 and put a supercharged LS in it with a sequential and race it.
Think about that. If you're coming into the series and if you don't have a lot of sponsorship...
That's true.
A ton of, like,
It's a very good point.
If he places 20th, he still has more eyeballs than
it's a good point. Look, we're talking about him. Right. Yeah. He's the only car at Formula Drift Long Beach that we're talking about. Tim, zoom in on this picture. Let's make sure everyone sees his sponsors. Good for him. He's looking badass. He doesn't even really look like he cares in this picture. This car's on fire. We got Nitto, and I got, I don't know. What else is there?
Sparco, AM, Owens.
Good for you. Keep people who gave Ferrari driving guy money.
You know, I have to applaud his audacity. Yeah, that, I think that's a story in itself, just the audacity of campaigning a vehicle like that for competition.
Yeah, I mean, I applaud the audacity too, but like, you know, look how well it worked out. I do applaud in this image, especially his ability to look away from that flame. He looks really fucking cool walking away from that car in a wall, on fire, and there he is just looking the other way.
It's very Mission Impossible. Like, there's a bigger explosion behind him right now that he's walking away from.
It's self-destruct.
The photographer actually really fucked up. The huge explosion is just off frame to the right.
No, this guy was, I watched the video of when this thing caught fire. So he was heading into turn one behind Chelsea, and then the car just went straight and like pulled over to the side of the road. So something happened, maybe engine cut, whatever. Just pulls up against the fence, and then as he's opening the door to get out, the thing just bursts into flames.
Wait, the car was going straight. It just didn't.
Like, you know that
turn?
Right in Long Beach? It didn't turn. He was probably bailing out and like, oh, something's wrong. I'm going to pull over. He opens the door. Car bursts into flames. He jumps out, and then he stands there for a second while the fire crew's showing up, who are not wearing Nomex suits, by the way.
And then
Federico opens the passenger door and starts like reaching in as if he's trying to get the glove box. You're like, do you not see the car's
on fire? Do you think he was trying to pull a fire bottle that was not functioning properly?
For sure.
Yeah.
It's just still like, it's pretty gutsy or stupid, depending.
But what's cool is they have the money to fix that thing, and it's going to come back. I mean, it's not like a, you know, it's not written off.
Well,
it's
coming back. You can't afford to break it. You can't afford to race it. But
there you go, yeah. Yeah.
But every last penny went into this Ferrari.
That could have been like power steering fluid, you know, if you have a full-on power steering failure, or like, you know, any time back in the day that a Ferrari would burn to the ground, it would usually be hydraulic line bursting. I don't know. You think they're running the F1 gearbox in this thing? They pull it out and put a race gearbox in?
I read Jonathan Klein's story on Top Gear about it, and
Klein's story. Did he get a gig writing for Top Gear?
Yes, yeah, that's his first Top Gear story. Yes, that's his first Top Gear story.
Oh, you go, John Klein. Yeah. Good. I saw him the other day. He didn't fucking say anything?
Well, he may have sent it to me before it was published.
Well, this, by the time
it's already published, yeah. It went up yesterday.
Does anyone have any insider knowledge there in gearboxes?
I'm Googling.
If I recall from reading the story, it's a modified. It's not an OEM.
It's a Hollinger sequential gearbox.
Okay, yes. So it's a race box. Yes. All right, so he's not running the same hydraulic lines you'd be running with the F1. I wonder. I guess it probably just has a clutch, just a foot clutch, right? Sequential would use a foot clutch.
Yeah, and then I think once they're rolling, like, they just bang gears anyway. They don't care.
Depending,
actually, because JR rides the clutch with like full throttle when he's sliding.
He does
a different style.
Yeah. All these guys have their own thing.
Well, remember, that was when we did the firm rally school. That was the first time I learned of pressing the clutch in to like change the pitch of the car.
Oh, yeah.
Pendulum swings.
Yeah.
That was really weird. That was so counterintuitive to like, okay, braking I get, hand braking I get. And this was like, no, put the clutch in, pull the power away from the car, and that will cause it to slow down and pivot.
So counterintuitive, but so fun.
It's
super fun.
Yeah.
It's motorcycle shit. It's front rear distribution shit, really.
Motorcycle shit.
Yeah.
Like you're moving the weight front to rear.
To
control how it turns in. So by doing the thing with the clutch, you're like shifting the weight of the car forward and back.
Pitching it forward. Yeah, that's true.
But that's why 911 off-road cars are better, because you don't need to do any of that bullshit. You just brake and turn, and then it drifts, and then you just do this.
I mean, you can also do that with that car we were in, but he was trying to teach us the right way.
Oh, the right way. I'm sorry. I didn't realize he was trying to do it the right way.
He was trying to teach us to rally drive, not have fun. This is not about having fun.
I'm surprised that window is completely blank. Why is that? I think you need to close that and reopen that window, Tim. Close that super chat window and reopen it and try again. I think because you opened it before we went live, it's going to... No? Well, we'll see. Or not. All right. Well, it burned to the ground, though, that car. Not to the ground.
No.
Can't say to the... Why do I say to the ground? Because it sounds better. That's why.
It's more dramatic.
Shit.
Yeah.
It's not accurate, though, is it? The front half of it burned off.
Yeah. But To the Ground would be more of a Phoenix Rising story.
They'll build it, and like the community was jumping in to like try to help them. Like someone offered to help store cars and fix parts at like Willow Springs. A bunch of drivers were just like amped he did this and brought it here because it's cool. You know, it's a fish out of water. It's something different. You showed up also, like, oh, 240 with an LS.
If you happen to be an Italian who had a bit of a tax problem and a really expensive Ferrari that you hadn't paid taxes on and you wanted to get it out of the country, entering it in a foreign racing series would be hypothetically a very good way to do that.
Wouldn't that
allegedly just throwing out the potential of that there.
I think running a Formula Drift race would cost more than whatever taxes you might. Like a season is like $80,000 or something, bare bones minimum.
It probably does. Yeah.
Hosford was talking about that once. Like cheapest as dirt you could do it is like 60 to 80.
Yeah, because just the entry fees and stuff, right?
Entry fees and just trailing and your own car, all that stuff.
From place to place, ooh. Yeah. Racing is very expensive.
So expensive.
I just noticed you have the Driving While Awesome Turo Chrysler Town & Country.
Yeah, those guys were here last week.
Yeah, I drove that. Yeah,
what a shitbox,
oh
huh?
Oh my God, but it made me so happy.
Why?
Because of the plushness of the fake
car.
Corinthian vinyl.
That car, there was... I don't know what the point is of this thing. It was listed on Turo for $450 a day.
Such a joke.
And it not only like, all right, yeah, it's like ironic and whatever. It's a Town & Country, but with like a Dodge 600 nose mm-hmm. and then all the extra wood paneling and Continental kit. And it's so terrible.
It's so awful.
It's missing a bunch of shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like half the dashboard's like missing. There's a bunch of parts that are missing.
Oh, it's a terrible car, and yet it made me really happy.
Fucking jokes on anyone who rents that thing.
Yeah,
it's so terrible. They were all like, "You want to roll to this party in this?" I'm like, "I no, fuck." It's just the most. I don't know. Those guys were really into that thing, but for me,
they really liked the jokes, the four wheel jokes.
Yeah,
all
no,
about
we,
it.
We took it through the In-N-Out drive thru. Ah, memories, man.
To me, that joke is about not.
Wow, you're simple. You are simple right now. You quit your job. You're like, oh man, I got to go to In-N-Out in the daytime. memories. I'm gonna tell my kids about this, and they won't care.
Remember the time we went to Costco in that sports car? I actually think I might have to figure some of that shit out because I think I'm booking a Lotus Evora 400 for a month,
yes.
And I have to figure out what exactly to do with it. Mm-hmm. Aside from all the track days, I can mm-hmm. figure out again too.
Do the tour, the California track tour.
Yeah, there's not a single available track day at Laguna Seca during the whole time I'm supposed to have the car,
no.
Which is a bummer. But I think I'm gonna do Sonoma with Musto, and I think I'm gonna do Buttonwillow and Willow Springs, and that's all I could think of for now. But I'm not going to Costco with it.
Do you know when you have the car? So if anyone listening with a Laguna Seca track day can call you?
If anyone knows of a Laguna Seca track day between May and June 21st. 21st of May to 21st of June.
Wow, there's seriously nothing? It's just you check the schedule.
Yeah, it's like there's a lot of races.
Okay.
There's like full races, and then there's like schools have it rented out.
That's
and there's
right.
days it's closed, and then there's days that like... You know, whatever.
What happened? Did Skip Barber get absorbed by someone and then turn into another company? Or
I don't know.
Are they just gone?
I don't know.
They used to be at Laguna.
Oh, no way. Okay.
there was the bankruptcy auction.
Right.
In which our friends Jack and Charlie Baruth bought a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah.
They bought a car and 40 tires and I think an extra engine as well. And they bought it all from their from the auction. There's just Jack's article on Road and Track. I'm not sure what happened after the assets got auctioned off. That's it. I think they owed a bunch of racetracks rent on their buildings, and I don't know. Then maybe the name is worth something, and it'll be revived and get reborn.
Okay,
something.
I was just curious. I bought a clipboard, so that's cool.
I'm sorry, you bought a clipboard?
No, I just feel like driving instructors always one has a clipboard. You're just checking shit off. And go again. You know, and some square frame glasses.
Lifeguards, too. It sounds like a camp. You just
also,
made a camp counselor or something.
They're all very similar skill sets.
Yeah, all right.
You're corralling children.
But, there's the Miata that Jack bought is that red one, and he got it real cheap.
That'd be so good.
It had like no miles on it, but it was like all, you know, it had like 6,000... all track miles.
Mm-hmm. You know? How many? How much is that in dog years? That's what is that like really worth?
It's
in
like Keith
miles?
Richards.
Exactly.
It has that body looks pretty good, but inside is it Keith Richards just waiting to die? No, they had to do the clutch, but other than that, it was okay.
That's it. Good. That's a good.
Yeah,
deal.
I mean, it's a fucking Miata. You know. 5,000 track miles on a Miata is like, fucking whatever.
Should keep working.
Yeah.
Maybe some bushings, maybe.
So I guess they just filed for bankruptcy last year. It's not the first time. In 1999, they sold 80% of the equity to a VC firm. 2002, went out of business. Assets were transferred to a new business entity.
Right, no.
Deteriorated from there.
Yeah, no, I was looking to find out what happened since the actual bankruptcy auction. That you just described events leading up to the bankruptcy auction, I believe. Because that article you pulled up is from May of 2017. Check your dates, son!
I did.
Well, you didn't get new enough.
It was Dave Jack Baruth's article.
It was 10 months ago, so it'll be some time if anything's going to happen. Like, I wondered if another company bought it, rebranded it.
No, I don't think so. They think they sold off the assets.
That sucks.
There's a lot of driving schools, though. You know?
Yeah, it's true.
It's just there's a lot of them out there.
Tommy Kendall just started one, right?
Did he?
Yeah.
Tommy Kendall started driving school?
He's doing a lot more media stuff.
Jordan Notaris went to like his snow driving academy thing.
That was what it was.
So it was like a touring road show.
Oh, yeah. Okay. What was that called?
That was in Colorado.
Tim, can you look up what Tommy Kendall's driving school is called?
So the thing that...
Still tracking down Skip Barber. It sounds like they just completed their first event. New Look Skip Barber Racing School completes first event May 13th, 2018.
March.
Okay,
yeah, we're
cool.
Not quite to May 13th.
Mm-hmm. All right, New Look. Rebranded. Leaner and meaner. Fuck me. Still alive. Good for them.
Yeah.
What else you got going on other than Aventador S freelance?
Project Stork update.
Oh, please do.
We are going back in the shop. All week long, Bradley Brownell is driving all the way down from Reno to help me out again. So, we are coming back into the Haynes Manuals headquarters shop, and we're going to work all the week through from April 16th to the 20th to get the car running. And for those who don't know about Project Stork yet, it is the 1977 Porsche 911S that brought me home from the hospital after I was born. And so we're going to get that car running for the first time in 15 years, actually legally driving for the first time in 23 years. And we're going to drive it to Lufkakult 5.
Cool. Well,
yeah.
When is Lufkakult 5?
That is
Saturday the 22nd.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Mm-hmm. April 22nd?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. That's next Saturday.
Yeah.
Whoa.
You're looking at the wrong Instagram.
Uh-oh.
Yep.
That's a wrong man. Although
that's me.
Another Manuel Carrillo III. It's MC3 Films.
Yes. Now I have two accounts. Yeah. There's one that I use just for like more just me, but that's the one for everything.
I have one of those too, but it's definitely not under my name.
Yeah. So you can see the Lamborghini, the leading photo, and then all the other stuff like Radwood and all those.
I'm excited for Lufkegut. There's a lot of. It's become its own thing. There's multiple pre-Lufkegut parties.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're having one at Weiss, which is the night before, Saturday before.
Project Stork's actually going to be one of the feature cars at that event night before. Yeah.
Lovely.
So, because me and one of your sponsors, Beeline Coffee.
Oh, Nick?
Yeah.
Gets his fucking little coffee-covered hands and everything, doesn't he?
So we're actually coming out with a line.
A lot of different shades of lipstick on your coffee bean there, Nick.
Yeah.
So we're actually coming... Now we're coming out with a line of a limited edition run of coffee, like a coffee flavor just specifically tailored from the whole
Project
Stork.
Tastes like a baby.
Smells like placenta. Yeah. Tastes like placenta. Like, you know that weird Kopi Luwak shit? It's like, oh, well, you heard of the monkey shit coffee. Oh. Now it's time for placenta roast.
How does it get in there?
Well, it's a light body, medium red flavor.
Full of iron.
Full of iron.
Let's keep digging this hole. I'm into
Jeez,
it now.
Jeez Louise.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not much of a coffee drinker, so he's actually going to be sending me samples to see what I like and then determine how I develop my palate from
If you pour
that.
Milk in it, it's called an epidural.
No way.
Because it softens it.
Good to know.
That's very funny. I like that.
That's one of those jokes where you're like, that's irritating, but it's very good.
I'd like to punch you after I'm done laughing.
You sound like Alec Baldwin.
You drinking bourbon?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
My voice was fucked up.
No, I just smelled that from over here. I was like, whoa. Got a hit.
Hey, now.
It smells like childhood.
Is that the Blantons? Is that the Blantons?
No. Oh. It's whatever. I think Johnny brought that a long time ago.
Oh, fantastic.
Right.
Hennigan's. Project Stork.
What are we talking about?
What needs to be done in order to make that fucking thing run?
We're going
to
pull the motor. We're going to... that's pretty much all you need to know. No, we're going to pull the motor. We're going to redo the valves. We're going to redo the head studs. We're going to... the rings are fine. The compression's fine. So it's just a matter
of... that's the hard part.
No, it was... the car will start, but there's so much leak down through the valves that the after just a couple times of starting it, the spark plugs get oil fouled.
Yeah.
So it's just an incredible amount of smoke if you try to start it right now. So we're going to kind of reseal it up again.
To be clear, I think it's awesome you're getting to learn to build an engine from zero. Like, I'm just making fun of the phrasing of like,
oh, what's
it's almost done.
Everything.
It just needs to be taken apart.
Right. You know, right. That's all. But, you know, I like the fact that it's no longer, the car is no longer going to intimidate me mechanically after I go through all this with Brad.
That's true.
Because he knows what he's doing. I don't. I only took a semester of auto shop in high school. So
they didn't cover Porsches in that semester?
No, they didn't, unfortunately. Yeah. But, yeah, this
they
is going to be...
Rick Radcliffe's high school.
Probably. Yeah. He's like, here's your 3D printer.
Here's your 914.
And Rick, actually, he's going to be in the next episode of the Project Stork Saga. Yeah. So
Rick's great.
Yeah, he helped me bleed the brakes and do a couple other things on the car. Yeah. So...
That's good.
Yeah.
So that's some things, but how long do you have to get all that shit done?
A week.
What?
Yeah. It's a busy, full week, though,
right? A full week of 8-hour days, yeah. As long as Haynes is open during its business hours, we're going to be at the shop.
Wow. See, yeah. I used to think, because there's so many of those stories of journalists, like, we had to get this done overnight, we had to slam this together, right. And not like History Channel, but like, we actually had to do this. And I used to think... oh, these people are just being lazy and doing things like last minute. And now I've recognized that everyone has like a normal job and then their project car that they want to get done. And it's like you'll leave the office and then like Aaron
Robinson,
like he's like, oh, I want to go to Pebble. Yes. I decided to leave the night before. I left at 3 a.m. and then I had to rebuild like the valves on my Espada on the side of the road or something crazy.
Yeah, you know,
it's, just, it's just how the cards play.
Yeah.
A week. Wow.
Yep.
But are you going to have all the parts there?
I just ordered the parts about 3 days ago. So I'm on the phone with Pelican every morning just making sure they get to me on time.
No. Okay.
Well, No, everything. They have everything. The only thing they didn't have in stock was a $19 or $12 valve holder that we can probably get a similar item at one of the auto parts stores. So that's not a problem. Everything else is in stock. It's from one of their local Carson-based vendors. I talked to them this afternoon. We should be fine. Everything should be to me by Monday.
All right.
Yeah.
Just in case, you got a toe strap?
Toe strap?
just in case. Luft is right around the corner from Weiss. Just.
We own like three of them for reasons. Like, we've had a lot of situations where like, just in case. Do we have
always,
one? Just in
we
case.
Always need a toe strap for something.
Contingency is good.
It's very rare that we've brought a toe strap somewhere and then not used it.
Yeah,
we almost always end up using it.
Which is bad.
It's very bad.
I always use this fire extinguisher. It's my lucky one.
Oh, my.
I see you have the all the pictures of Project Stork pulled up. But, there's actually a new comprehensive hub for everything that I do.
Oh.
But especially Project Stork 2, there's a component of my new website, mc3films.com. And, so everything about me kind of lives there. So...
Dun dun dun!
Yeah.
Drive, laugh, repeat. Good slogan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a video background, y'all.
Mm-hmm. Yep, little B-roll.
It's very sexy. This is Infiniti Q60
and a lot of other cars.
Crazy
stuff I've done in the past.
Mulholland Highway. Yes, the back of it.
That would be.
I like that McLaren Spider. 570 Spider is a nice looking car.
That was a lot of fun.
Great.
I guess the press cars are ever going around because I've been seeing a bunch of them in Malibu. Everybody's going to Nobu in them. I saw so many fucking McLaren Spider press cars going to Nobu.
Really?
Yeah. Was the launch in? Did you go to Nobu for the launch? Did I see that?
Well, yesterday we went to the Soho House next to the Nobu for the Lamborghini thing. Yeah, but we didn't, for the...
Standard loop.
Yeah, no. For the event, though, we didn't do any... It was just like we got there after lunchtime and then we left before dinner. So, for the McLaren thing.
Yeah, just cruising.
Yeah.
They close roads or anything for the Lamborghini launch, or just like, here's your route?
No, we had racing drivers leading us along the route. You know, just to keep the pace right.
Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Keep the pace right.
Yeah.
I mean, you could get real bonkers on some of those corners if you don't know what's happening.
I know. Good Yikes. Thing. It's too bad they didn't hire me to do that job. Keep real nice.
Remember those days of Gotham? Do you want to do that again?
Dude.
When the car rolled down the hill?
We used to lead the... Oh.
Remember the 599?
Wait, what?
Matt Fair is a much faster runner than anyone will ever think. Because we were on the side of the road during the journalist event.
Oh, yeah.
And the 599 just starts rolling.
Yeah. Someone got out of the car. It was the old F1 gearbox where it was you put it in neutral and then handbrake. And if you shut the car off, you know, it would like go in gear and like go to park.
Oh.
But like if the car was running, the handbrake was all that was holding it. And it wasn't set. It
wasn't great. It was holding it, but it wasn't great. But it just started to creep, and someone was like, "Oh my god!" And Matt, you were gone.
I was
you were
like
there
a gazelle.
So quick, absolutely. Just linebacker 4-4 to 4-4 to 30, whatever. I don't know how they measure that stuff because I don't watch football.
I don't move quick because I never have to move for anybody. I occasionally have boogied. It's been known to happen occasionally.
It was that was a terrifying moment.
Yeah. When duty calls.
No, we used to lead these. Like the Gotham Dream Car Tours, so people would pay like, you know, $700 or whatever, and you'd drive 4 or 5 different cars in an afternoon. And in the early days, it got much more tame later, and, you know, it got to sort of be almost painfully slow just because, I mean, even not necessarily doing even the speed limit, but like, you know, even a little over is painfully slow in a fucking Lambo.
Mm-hmm.
But like in the beginning, it was lawlessness, and it just that because no one had had a big crash yet ever, so it was like in the beginning,
like in Malibu, no one had one.
No, like back in Jersey, like back in the day when we would do these dream car tours, like a long time ago, like before anyone had ever had any crashes of any kind, and we would just go so fast, and it got tamer and tamer as people got older and wiser. I'm glad we didn't die.
Yeah, the beginning of the drive loop with the Lamborghini was a bit fast and a bit showy and a bit maybe lawless.
And a train of how many Lambos?
6.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Subtle.
Yeah. Wow, yeah.
They're really known for their quietness.
Little mob mentality, a little just everyone's car sounds good.
It was a spectacle.
And all that stuff.
Yeah, and everybody has their smartphones out and, you know, you're feeling like a celebrity, but it's like at the same time, yeah, let's not go to jail today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's hard. You want to like be like, oh, I'm just gonna stop and take pictures on the side of the road and like let all of you leave, and then I can be by myself.
It's not a bad, especially if you know the route.
Yeah, you don't want to drive in groups.
No, it's just not as fun.
I mean, it was a fast group though, so I wasn't complaining.
No, it's just it's how you get the cops called on you.
Yeah, it's true.
Jail.
It's true.
Especially in Malibu because there's houses, and you need for Aventadors, man. You got to be up on Angel's Crest.
Yeah, that's true. You need some room. That's the last time I drove an Aventador was Angel's Crest when we filmed the Countach Aventador thing.
Yeah, yeah.
That was back when they would understeer when you thought about the gas pedal.
Yeah. You had to drive them like a front-wheel drive car back in the day, which was weird. Tough to get used to that.
Really weird.
Yeah, the new one drives more like a Subaru in terms of the way it turns in and...
Okay, yeah. Which, I got you.
To describe a Lamborghini as like a Subaru is not particularly complimentary, but I assure you I mean that as a compliment.
Do you know how many Subaru people just got hard, though? Because they can say, my car drives
Matt Farah just said my car was a Lamborghini.
Yeah.
He just said...
Yeah, no.
Play it on repeat, baby.
Yeah, yeah. You know, the way the torque apportions from front to back, it feels characteristic of a Subaru.
Yeah, WXSTI. Yeah. You can move the car, you know, you could... tighten it or open it on the throttle, which
because of the angle of the rear steering, right?
Right,
it's really clever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's very cool.
Whereas before, you could only open it. There was no tighten it. To tighten
true.
You just had to like, you know, brake more.
So. It's cool tech. I remember when we drove the 911 Turbo the first time it had 4-wheel steering, and I did a U-turn, and it just did a U-turn on like 2-lane road. And whoa, you know, it shrinks a lot with that.
Yeah, whereas before the Aventador had woeful turning circle, now it has the turning circle of a larger sedan, which isn't bad, but you know, it's not awful anymore at least, so that's good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. What?
Oh, I don't know. You just looked at me like there was like, that was my turn. I was like,
I felt like
you just froze. Where do I go?
Because Aventador is a big car. Like, it is a big long, car. Wide,
it's 89 inches wide at the mirrors and 79 inches wide at the body. So it's probably one of the wider cars in production.
Mm-hmm.
It's 106 inch wheelbase. It's 189 inches long. It's a big beast.
It is.
Yeah. And 3,500 pounds.
And it's like 18 inches tall. It's super sleek.
44.7 something, but yeah.
Yeah. 4GT is only 43.
Ha! Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it was low. I'm actually surprised the Aventador is so close, to be frank.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is it's remarkable if you were to put them next to each other. It's only like an inch and a half, but mm-hmm. you could tell. I mean, if you put the 4GT behind the Aventador, it would actually disappear.
Well, when I really notice it is when I've been at the race at Daytona and you see the GT go by and then you see all the other cars it's competing against and how much taller they are. Like, it's totally noticeable.
Yeah.
And that's why
I think a 911 is 5 inches taller than a GT.
It's very tall.
Yeah, 911s are about 49.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very tall.
It's
that's why the GT
I'm looking
one.
At pictures of the GT. They're so sexy.
I think the new one's so good looking.
So sexy.
It's so cool.
So sexy.
The way you can look through it, that's just so awesome.
Yeah.
A car you can look through.
It's got buttresses.
Ah.
599 had buttresses as well.
Yeah, but these are bigger.
These are pods. They're not.
You could put you could sit under the buttress in the rain and read. So like the 599 was like,
you have to come out there and there's homeless people sleeping under your buttresses.
Exactly.
It's the worst places to sleep.
Wow, driving that in a snowy climate or near a snowy climate seems like a real bad idea, but...
That was Miller Motorsports Park in Utah. It's out in Salt Lake City.
That's where they did the pre-press launch,
yeah,
right?
There was, I guess, the sort of press launch for the super, super, super cool kids.
Because Ford partially owns that track now, don't they? They took it over because...
Because they
stepped in when Miller was about to close, and they said, no, we'll take it over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's now called the... Ford Motorsports Campus.
Something.
I don't know. Yeah. GT. I love me a GT. It was so nice. What are you driving next?
Doing some motorcycles. I'm going to be on the Indian Chieftain Elite.
On a launch?
No. Just as far as launches, don't know of any launches yet.
this giant bagger? Is it this thing?
I like baggers, dude.
Whoa. You like baggers?
Part of my early days in riding was on a bagger.
Really?
Yeah, my dad was a Harley guy, so he had two Harleys. He had a Heritage Springer Softail, which was heavy as hell, and then even heavier was his Ultra Classic Electric Glide 100th Anniversary Edition. So
those are like 800-pound bikes,
right? Yeah, so yeah. I was a 19-year-old kid. I only weighed like 120 pounds at the time, and I was riding this big old bruiser, and it was awesome.
What is the appeal of the bagger other than having a place to put your things?
I'm a very grand touring type car person.
Yeah.
So bringing that to a motorcycle, like having the best of both worlds, is something that appeals to me. So I don't like the way they look, but I like riding them.
Are they that comfortable?
They're very comfortable. You could ride all day long. I've done it. And you're not in pain.
Yeah.
And you feel like you're at a Stones concert or something. You should be listening to Stones when you're on a bike like that. But you feel like you're at a concert when you're... Because the speakers are pretty good, too. And you kind of have...
Oh, you're talking about the actual stereo. You feel like you're at a concert because of music on your stereo.
Like, you're rolling down the highway. You got the tunes blasting. It's like, I'm on a motorcycle, though. It's a bit of a mind fuck.
Yeah, the rest of us can hear you, too.
Yeah, I do find that
obnoxious. Really, really clearly. The rest of us can all fucking hear you.
The stereos on motorcycles are very good because you can hear them from far away and then when they pass.
Yeah.
I understand why they did it because it's safer than having like earbuds in, because I used to ride with earbuds in. But
no one gives a shit at 80, but people have the same volume at 2.
True, yeah.
You know, I don't care if you want to blast it at 80 miles an hour. My windows will probably be up. But they roll down past my house with it at that volume. I'm like, God damn it.
Country road.
It's kind of fun to annoy people on them.
Yeah. And there's like some real, it's very funny, I think. Do you know the guys who have like the super custom baggers where the giant front rim, where it looks like a penny farthing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And those guys will roll by sometimes. And if you look at a picture of one of those bikes, sometimes you cannot guess what type of music that person is listening to. Like that bike right there. Like, for instance, like,
whoa,
that guy could come by listening to like Pantera.
Or Sade.
Sade. He come by listening. Like, I've seen those guys go by my house listening to jazz. Mm-hmm. Like bumping jazz.
Yeah.
You know,
for
like,
people listening, the front wheel is as tall as the gas tank.
Yeah, yeah.
It is
32 inch wheel.
Well, 32
oh my god!
But the music you just said, like, that speaks to me because my bandwidth is that wide.
Yeah,
I listen to everything.
What's the weirdest shit you listen to on your giant fucking bagger?
Ace of Base.
Grace Jones.
Grace Jones. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that doesn't really fit the bagger lifestyle.
Yeah, I'm mad
so much.
About Grace Jones. I'm a big Grace Jones fan.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who's Grace Jones?
Grace Jones is like one of the icons of music. Like any upcoming artist today references her because she was like the original queen of weird back in the 70s and 80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will have to spot.
What?
Tim found a picture of a hubless wheel on a bike, and there's also twin turbos on it.
Seems safe awesome. In a lot of ways.
I mean, I don't know about him, but wow. Fuck a helmet, am I right?
That's crazy.
I don't know how he feels about it, but Jesus.
It's a lot.
I mean.
There's a lot going on.
Let me ride this fucking giant motor experimental helmet. Those are for fucking pussies.
I don't think the hubless wheel looks very good. It's like, it's just empty space and, you know, the tech is interesting, but I don't know if it aesthetically really works.
Do you think a villain on the side of the road will try and throw a tree trunk through it?
Think if it was,
first of all, a villain.
A villain.
I mean, it made it sound like a superhero villain, and he, like his mischief is like, yeah. Oh, I'm gonna rob the bank. What are you gonna do? He's like, I'm gonna throw things through motorcycles.
You think Daredevil squirrels like know he's coming home and are like, watch this, and try and fucking dive through with
the Pastrana squirrel?
Yeah, yeah. Like the Geico squirrels,
the super adrenaline junkie squirrel.
The squirrel that finds a half empty rock star and drinks like, oh my god, I gotta do something with this.
It's like the Ratatouille, but it enters the Hell's Angel Ratatouille.
Mm-hmm. The sequel that will never be.
Oh my god, I could spend what show do I need to go to only experience motorcycles like this? Black Bike Week Daytona?
I think are there two?
Is Bike Week and Black Bike Week are not the same thing?
I don't know.
I think they're the same thing.
I think they're the same thing. But
Sturgis. Yeah. Do they roll the big wheels like this in Sturgis or do they roll traditional Harleys?
Never been.
We should all go to Sturgis together.
One of these years, yeah.
Whoa.
Bro, that looks like a fucking plate. Like,
it's like a crab.
What is
not
it?
Good.
It's the motorcycle version of a donk, really.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's just, it's orange and there's just weird, really, really weird decisions were made every level.
It's called
that.
Sinister, and then it's got a NOS bottle in between the frame rails.
Does it? Is that a NOS bottle? Oh, shit, it is. It's
definitely not a water bottle.
Well, that's the bike you build during a drunk night in Vegas.
Fuck.
Just bad decisions.
It's so orange.
Yeah.
It's so
orange. Man, I just love hunting and motorcycle. How do I combine these things?
What is it? Is it snake skin that's on the side?
Airbrushed skulls.
It's airbrushed skulls.
And the wheels.
And the front fairing looks like a helmet you'd wear for speed biking.
Why do you think there are two front brake rotors? Is that normal? Are there normally two front brake rotors on a motorcycle?
That happens sometimes.
I think there are now.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, with something of this kind of performance caliber, yeah.
I mean...
That's got to weigh 600, 800 pounds, right?
No,
I mean, Harleys are heavy anyway.
That's probably, yeah, more like 800, yep.
That's a lot of weight.
Yep.
I mean, wait, what's the farthest you've ridden in a day? Like have you done like a 10, 12-hour day kind of thing?
I'm not an iron butt yet. Maybe this year I'll do that, but I've done about 400 miles in one day.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, there's stops in between and everything. It makes the day longer, but yeah.
Yeah, all right. That's a bunch.
Yeah.
I kind of want to do one of those long rides. Something like Palm Springs.
Pick the right bike. I rode Boulder to Pueblo and back in the day and on my SV, and when I got back, like, my hips were all tight, and it was painful by the end of it because it was like crotch rocket.
Yeah,
And I had slip-on bars on it and stuff, so it was even more canted over. One of those things is probably a lot, you know, upright, more comfortable, duh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about, your bike is probably like, you're lounged back, right? Your feet are forward,
right?
That's super lounge.
Yeah, yeah, it's really comfortable.
Does your bike have like cruise control and shit too?
It will.
That's dangerous.
It'll have all that. Navigation, stereo, Bluetooth, all the typical car accoutrement.
I feel like you'd fall asleep, you know, just like, blah, 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 and just lull you.
Yeah, I've been in danger of falling asleep on motorcycles back in the mid-2000s. During the job that I was doing at that time in my life.
Oh, you were selling NyQuil, though.
I was working on an online TV show, and I would come back home. I'd have to drive 50 miles home at like 2 in the morning after I was done with all my editing. And there were times on the motorcycle where, oh God, on a bike this happens? You know, that's scary.
That's extremely scary.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm very happy I've never been in that position.
Yeah. Ooh, have you ridden an electric motorcycle yet?
Yes, I've ridden, I have ridden Project Livewire from Harley, and I really liked it.
Okay.
Yeah. But I haven't ridden one of those Zeros yet or anything like that.
I'd like to try one of those things.
Yeah, yeah.
When you had the Lotus, the photographer that was working with John.
Oh, he was riding.
He was riding like a dual sport, whatever, but he had come from riding. The guys that built that electric dirt bike that ran the Red Bull rhythm section race.
Oh, yeah.
They also built like a sport bike, and he said it was amazing. Like his eyes were, he was like, it was the best. It was like a turbine. It sounded cool. You could set it to different levels of regenerative braking. So like when you let off the throttle, it was like letting off in second or third gear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's like, the thrust is bananas. It's got anti-wheelie technology, so you just pin it and just goes.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like
cool.
He was real stoked about it.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. And on Project Livewire, it actually sounded like a TIE fighter or something. It had a really cool sound to it, very Star Wars sounding. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you took something like even a Tesla engine, you know, without any of the insulation around it.
Yeah, the war was electrifying.
Cool. Yeah.
Pardon the pun.
Nope.
Yeah.
Get out.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Get out.
Fuck your pin.
It's so bad.
I
think it'd be cool.
If they made an electric scooter, like if they made a scooter that was like mine but electric, it would be awesome.
I'm sure they do. Someone
I would
does.
I love that.
Absolutely.
I had to jumpstart that fucking thing today.
They had those for rent at the hotel I stayed at in San Diego. It was like a little bit bigger than one of those bird scooters, but with a seat on it. And it was an electric cruise.
It looked like that thing second from the left on the top, it like an electric ruckus.
Yeah.
They have these on the beach, and everyone who rents one of these things on the beach doesn't have the first clue how to operate a two-wheeled vehicle.
And they're everywhere in Venice. Everywhere.
They rent way too many moving, quick vehicles in Venice with no instruction and like the sidewalk rules are just out the door, and it's crazy.
I saw someone eat shit on a bird scooter today, and it was great. It was so good.
Nobody's died yet?
I don't think anyone's died, no.
Okay.
But in Santa Monica, they're giving out tickets for people not wearing helmets on them.
Yeah.
They're fucking everywhere. I took one this morning to get coffee with somebody, and it died. And I was like, and my phone died, and I was like, oh no. And I had to like abandon it. And I was like, am I leaving this thing like unlocked for someone to just grab? But I think if your phone dies, it locks it back up.
Yeah, I've seen them all over the place. I think people just, I've never used the app, but I think people just leave it.
Yeah, you leave
it. Thing and goodbye.
No, but my phone died. Mm-hmm. The scooter didn't die. So you unlock it, and then it's unlocked. But if your phone dies while it's unlocked, it's
I see.
Oh shit, now I can't lock it back up or walk away from it.
Okay.
So I just had to walk away from it and hope that it locked, which it did.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw one in my neighborhood the other day, and I think it's been there a while.
There's one in your neighborhood?
Yeah.
You live very far from where they're supposed to be.
Someone rode it real far, and it's been there for a bit.
They're only really supposed to be at the beach, and you're like a good
seven miles
from the beach.
Someone did a one-way trip and then left it there.
Yeah.
God.
So we'll see how long it stays.
For a long fucking time.
Yeah. Throw it in my car and bring it back to the wild and return it to its natural habitat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they have to have trackers on those things, right?
Yeah.
And then they can go pick it up or charge it.
Yeah.
Wait, how many? Is that, say, $300,000 in fines and restitution?
That's for Santa Monica. For operating a scooter rental business on the public right-of-way without a proper city business license.
Yeah, they never had a business license.
But if you raised $100 million, who gives a shit about that?
Yeah.
No.
We'll fix that later.
No, no one cares, but it's very funny that they didn't get a business license. Like, that's what's funny.
That
it's
is cool. Funny.
Yeah.
You're like, no, just start it. Just open it. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's like, I think you can do that in Thailand with anything.
For forgiveness, not permission, right?
Especially with $100 million.
So Zach got to do his first ever one-take shoot.
Yeah, with fan cars. It was cool.
With fan cars.
No way.
It was very cool.
What'd you drive,
Randy, man? And Sam came out.
Because I remember you've done a one-take with the Ford Fusion.
Yeah, I mean, I've done them with like a couple press cars
stuff. Yeah.
But it's different with, one, someone in the car to talk to, which is great.
Yeah.
And then, two, you don't know what's... I mean, you know it's going to show up ahead of time, but like, it's not like I went out and found this car and sought it out. So one guy brought a 94 Civic EX that was fully built with track suspension, but the engine was pretty mild. The previous owner had swapped the engine from like an 02 Civic, but it was a non-VTEC single overhead cam, like 114 horsepower at the wheel. But it had camber plates, coilovers, shocks, like toe links on it, just all the bits to make it corner well with good tires. It drove so good. It drove great. Have you driven like a fast Civic or a modded Civic ever?
The first Civic I ever drove was an SI back in 99.
Okay.
Relatively new. Loved it.
Right.
Slow car, fast. You know, it wasn't slow, but I mean, it was slow enough to not get you in trouble, because at the time I was driving my Fox body, and even though that was only 225 horsepower, still it was louder and torquier and
absolutely,
you know. So that was always refreshing to get in my buddy's SI and just go for a rip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so take the SI and how that felt, and I would say like turned the lean and like the crisp steering feel and the cornering stability up like 30%.
All right.
Because it's super neutral. You feel what the front and the back's doing. It corners like really even. It leans a little bit, but not too much. And you can just carry so much speed all the time. And the steering feel was fantastic.
I mean, it leans enough for good mid-corner compliance then, you know?
So yeah, it's not so stiff where you're like, I don't know what this is going to do. Mm-hmm. Like, all I know is right now it's turning.
Yeah.
But then what is it going to do when it decides to stop turning?
When you hit
turning?
A bump and, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're on like a lightly bumpy road up in Angeles Forest, and it was... I mean, I was flying through corners, and it
those
just doesn't
carry
so
much
easy
speed. Yeah. And like the double wishbone suspension, like you can make it reasonably compliant, but give it a lot of stick.
Great.
Too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this dude bought it for $3,500, and he bought it because he wanted to quote improve his driver mod. Mm-hmm. It's like that is a great idea that so many of us, you know, car enthusiasts are missing.
Yeah,
is I'm going to go buy this thing with more power. I want to buy this new thing or this cool thing, and then take it to a track day. I'm guilty of this too. Or could do what this dude did and buy a $3,500 thing that'll probably last for a very, very long time, mm-hmm. and just learn about trail braking, learn about cornering speed, because it's, you know, momentum is everything.
Sure.
It's great.
Yeah.
Really great driver tool.
On what kind of tires?
Sticky ones. I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay.
But it was like his track tires.
No,
setup.
They were those. They were like the cheap sticky tires. Like he got like, they were like some kind of 140 treadwear R compound, but they were like shitty Chinese 120.
Yeah.
So they were like, you know, a Time Attack tire. You get like two heat cycles.
Oh my god!
So they were sticky briefly.
Yeah. Like a little like sticky. Yeah, short-lived stick.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, they were, you know, whatever they were. They're like, they were nice for what I was doing. I wasn't doing anything crazy. But he takes the Willow and stuff, and that was his mission. And then the other guy that showed up had a 2017 340i with full bolt-ons.
Okay.
Like intake downpipe, mid-pipe, catless exhaust, and a tune, and it was putting down like 400 wheel, 400 torque.
So no suspension mods?
Whatever, which were made itself pretty apparent. Like, it was such a weird, drastic change from getting out of like the, like, loud, rigid car, and then getting in this thing that was pretty silent on the inside.
Yeah.
But sounded
it
rowdy.
Loud outside.
It was outside.
Pretty rowdy outside.
It sounded great outside.
And for some reason, this dude said that every time he starts the car, it cold starts.
Yeah.
Even, like, when it's not cold, and he demonstrated a cold start, and it was loud. Like,
I was good. Was I gone? Was it when he did this?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where you were. Maybe you were in the car. Maybe
I was driving the Civic. Probably.
Oh yeah, you were driving the Civic. Yeah, and it was very, very loud. I was surprised. I'd not be happy if I was this guy's.
Is that a weird idle? Like.
No, it's like fast idle, you know, when it's just, yeah, for a minute. And then it comes down after, you know, 30 seconds or whatever, but it's,
it sounded great on the outside. It sounded way better than I think most twin turbo BMWs I've heard. Like, it sounded better than the new M4 or M3 or M2. I mean, it was a Kropovich, and of course it's catalyst, so it's louder and all that stuff, but like, it sounded really nice. But then steering on those things is like nothing. Steering feel is not good in that car.
The new 5 Series had the waftiest steering. It was
really
no bueno, yeah.
I could feel zero through the wheels. Then it makes it like the, you know, video game steering, like that off-road truck game where you're like, I'm turning it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it is turning.
No, they steer like Lexus's from 2002. Yeah.
Well, a Lexus from then was probably still hydraulic, right?
Yeah, it was hydraulic.
Yeah. But I mean, there's no feel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty easy. And yeah. And so now BMW's kind of taken over for that kind of steering feel.
I mean, you know, the M cars are fine, but sorry, go ahead.
Nothing. I said Lexus has a good steering feel because you mentioned Lexus, but
today they do. Yeah.
Yeah, today they do. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're one of the best out there.
LC500.
God, I love that thing.
FTW.
I love that thing.
Fucking best.
Yeah. Saw in Big Sur. I'm like, that was a nice purchase.
I'm surprised I haven't seen more of them on the road.
So good looking.
I mean, they said they weren't building very many. I mean, they could only build 3,000 a month.
still pretty good.
Globally?
Yeah.
But I've only seen a couple of them in L.A.
I've not seen one.
No, not
one. Zero. Yeah.
Yeah, they're around, but
yeah,
very few of them.
Just a couple for me, too.
Why do we think that is?
I think each dealer was only getting, like, two or three in the first year.
Hmm.
So even in, you know, that's, what is that, like a dozen in L.A.?
So you think you don't think it's a they're not selling thing? You think
no, they're selling. Yeah, okay. They're selling. They're just they're compared to, you know, when any other normal new car gets released, they're just not building that many.
Okay,
them, so
and it can even turn heads with the Pebble Beach crowd because I drove it up to Monterey Car Week last year.
LC500, Tim, not SC500.
They're stunning. They're yeah, I mean, they yeah, look people, a little bit like concept cars.
Now people in Porsches and Ferraris and even old Alphas were looking at the car, staring at it, and I'm like, okay,
great
this is,
shape.
This is worthy. I'm like, cool.
I think the interior doesn't. The exterior is so good,
mm-hmm.
and then the interior is like, it's fine.
Yeah,
it's got good pieces and some amp pieces.
Sure,
the exterior
it's
like
comfortable.
No. Oh yeah,
yeah,
functions fine.
Yeah.
It's just like I think some of the designs. It's like got some different stuff going on.
Mercedes is winning that one. I think
absolutely.
The new E-Class is dope interior.
I think the shape of that car, though, the wagon you drove, that will look good for a long time. Remember, because the last wagon had a lot of the edges, kind of like Cadillac CTS-V, not quite as extreme.
Right.
The new language they're doing, I think,
is it called Art and Science? Isn't that the Cadillac
Art and
design
Science,
language?
That, yeah, that's
it was right.
It was, and now it's something else. Yeah, Art and Science was like 10 years ago.
Now yeah. It's Art and LS engines.
Yeah, something like that. I actually drove with you on the racetrack. You were in the E-Class wagon, and I was in the Polaris Slingshot.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
that
true.
That was a fun day.
At Radwood.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was, I didn't really consider that driving on the racetrack because I was in second gear.
Right.
And I had
like a
cameraman hanging. Yeah, I was like
okay.
At Sonoma, like the low racetrack speeds, and they were shooting a 959. So I used the wagon as a camera car.
Gotcha.
Which it did very well. The hydraulic struts that hold the tailgate open were excellent.
They didn't auto close?
They did not.
It's good.
Not act up. It was good. Approved for camera vehicle services.
Tom and I gaffed. You know, sometimes the struts want to close themselves, so we're trying to do that, and so we put gaff around it to like stop it.
I put the clamp mount.
Much better idea.
Yeah, the clamp mount on the strut will do it.
Because the clamp mount can't get pulled up under the strut, which is what happened to us. And I just remember Tom looking at me going,
"You got all that tape in there."
Yeah, he was real fucked. Concerned that it was going to be there for a long time. We got it out, but when Tom's not usually concerned about gear stuff, and when he went, "Oh no." Like, oh God, why?
Because the problem was you couldn't close the tailgate after that, right?
Right.
It was stuck open.
Yeah.
Where was that?
But it wasn't open.
Was that
enough.
NBC Sports? What was that from?
That was a drive shoot.
It was NBC Sports.
It was
National
closed
Parks.
Too much. That's probably correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not open enough. Definitely not closed.
Yeah.
Yo, I'm looking at a picture of a racetrack here. Did you guys see the Porsche 919 hybrid lapping Spa?
Yes.
Fuck
Whoa.
Me. Did you see this
Whoa.
Thing? I don't know if we are allowed to pull it up because of YouTube. We'll probably get in trouble. But they took the 919 hybrid, the Le Mans car, and they modified like the aero on it a little bit. And I don't know if they added the horse. I'm not sure the exact modifications. Maybe Evo, 919 Evo Tribute, it's called.
Okay.
So they put DRS on it, like F1 cars have, the drag reduction thing. And then they, I don't know,
they did like a longer
took
rear
off
splitter.
The restrictor.
Don't tell anybody, it's not exactly legal.
Yeah, whatever it was.
It was the cornering speed. I mean,
dude, it takes looks, Eau Rouge like flat.
It, first of all, it cornered the track. It did the track faster than F1 car.
Like, yeah,
it lapped it faster than F1 car.
7/10 faster than Lewis Hamilton's record there.
So it's pulling like 5 G's in the corners or something crazy.
Something nuts. I mean, you watch it corner and it looks like it's sped up, but you can hear the sound that's not. It's and F1 cars also look like that. It's just a spectacle. It's amazing.
Even like the hairpin, like that shitty hairpin, it's the only shit corner at Spa. The hairpin in the beginning of the straightaway before Eau Rouge, it was even mobbing coming out of that.
Yeah, it looked like a slot car. It really just
like
cause it's got so much downforce, so much power. They did like a bigger rear wing that would never be legal. They like extended the rear diffuser, the lower rear diffuser, and like the pan, so it's super long.
And wait, can you
look at the mohawk?
Can you see? I'm far away from the monitor. Tim, zoom in on the wing. If you zoom in on the wing, you can see. I don't know if you can see if the DRS is open there. Can you scroll right on that? Yeah, so can you see a gap there in the wing?
I don't see a gap.
That white line there or whatever that is?
I don't
is?
Think it's a gap. I think that's just the leading edge of the DRS.
Well, there. Yeah, all right, so it's closed.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, there's not. That's it is so fast. If you haven't watched it, people, go watch it.
There should be a tribute car for everything because there's so much restriction in racing to where what if it were unrestricted and let's see what it can do.
That's a great
awesome.
Point.
I like that idea. And then they just race all the tribute cars and then call that the race. That'll just be.
And then everybody dies. The end.
Well done. Okay, so I did Motor Affair podcast last night with Patrick and we had this discussion about Indy, F1, like all these. Like, Indy is now a spec series.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bummer. F1, like, things are so evenly matched that if they get separated by 2 seconds, they tend to stay there unless there's, like, a problem.
Right.
You know, I mean, Mercedes years ago had, like, the separated turbo. They caught up. Everyone did it. So what do we think is the solution between, like, you want it to be competitive, but you don't want it to be even? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Well, what they do in Indy, which is they basically give everyone the same parts and then let them do the fine tuning of their own. It's sort of a spec series. There's two different engines. You know, I think they could work with that formula and find other ways to make that series more interesting. I think, I don't know about you. Do you watch Indy?
I'm not really a racing guy. Because of these restrictions in place, it pisses me off.
I have a hard time watching Indy as opposed to F1, even though F1's kind of boring. I feel like if Indy did more like road courses and stuff, like speedways really hide the speed of those cars and makes it less impressive than it would be if I was watching them, you know, zoom by trees or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, those cars don't belong on speedways because they're nimble. Tactical vehicles.
I mean, the drivers seem to enjoy driving them on speedways. Whenever I've met IndyCar drivers, they always seem to enjoy the speedways. And I think there's definitely like a diehard contingent of speedway fans. But I don't know. I think if they wanted to expand into more, you know, where am I going with this?
Well, okay, so what I think is cool about speedways and things like NASCAR is even if you're in last place, at some point the person in first place has to pit, and the pack is the pack. It's huge, and you're going to get absorbed into it. So there's always going to be clumps of action. Whereas F1, it seems like there's so few teams, the tracks are very big, it's totally possible that the cars can get separated by a few seconds, and it's almost like a single-file line just going around the course. So that's the good thing about the speedways, obviously, is the proximity, and everyone can, you know, spectators can see the whole thing. But, you know, for us, I think what we like to do with cars and driving, the road is not, or the course is not as exciting or interesting as it would be as if it was a road course.
But then Formula E, the competition, and that's pretty cool. From what I've seen, the races that I've been to, I think it gets close, it gets interesting. I like what they're doing there.
The cars need to finish a race on one battery.
That would be nice.
Yeah, but they definitely do.
They will get there.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to one of those races this year, and I'm curious to see my response to it.
Yeah.
I just went to the party for at Race Service, which is Forsberg and Turk's shop here in LA with Jacob and those guys, and they had those robo race cars.
Yeah,
have you seen them things? The cars, the full AI cars.
It's a Batmobile.
It's what? Like
it looks like a Batmobile.
Tim, get me a picture of the Robo Race car. Just one word, Robo Race.
It looks like the Michael Keaton era Batmobile.
Yeah, there, top left.
Whoa.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a car with no driver, right? So it's like a center fucking fuselage with sensors and cameras and whatever, and you know, crazy amounts of aero, but no driver. And the theory is that. With, you know, they make them AI. They give you a spec car with a spec and motor. That's their electric motor, spec brakes. You tune the car yourself, and then you program your AI software yourself. Now,
okay.
So far, I've heard it only kind of works. It kind of works, but like, it looks cool.
It looks rad.
Beautiful machine.
But the idea is, I met the guy who was like running this thing. And he's crazy. He is. Did you meet Roy?
No, I
think it's Roy is his name.
No, I didn't.
I think it was Roy. I hope it is. He was nuts. He was talking about how it would be fully interactive spectator sport. Like you could be at the racetrack, like on the side of the racetrack, like, and on your phone, like buy like a digital bomb.
Yeah.
That you could fucking pull it up on your phone and then huck this digital bomb onto the racetrack and like actually fuck with the race.
So not just fan boost, but like...
No, not fan boost.
Fan sabotage.
Fan sabotage, like...
And it's kind of great.
Yeah, that's what I said. It's like, exactly. It's like, at first, I thought about that and went, that's really dumb. No, wait a minute.
No, that's not like dumb. Really
that's fun. Awesome.
that's real life video game.
Yes. That would be the thing. And then there would be augmented reality. It would be a full augmented reality experience. So I was like,
yeah.
Yeah. At first, when I met this guy, I would admit I was 100% rolling my eyes at like, oh, this is dumb. And then he started talking about, okay, look, these cars can go like, well, pull like 10 G's in corners, like way more than, cause they could build a car that's like more than what a human could handle.
Whoa.
The limitation is human. You could build some crazy downforce shit and it could go faster than a human could take.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So, not the brain, literally.
So, and the more this guy talked about the things he wanted to do with the augmented reality, the interactivity, and then he starts talking about throwing banana peels and bombs and shit, and I'm like, dude, can I give you money? This sounds awesome.
Wow, that does open up a whole new thing. Because now you have like the challenge of the programmers to, you know, program the best AI to make it react to that stuff.
Right.
So that's like the kind of nerd challenge. And then the other side, and then you the smart people will program it, and then dumb simpletons will be like, I'm going to throw some shit in the road.
Right.
And, yeah. And then it gets a whole audience of programmers into racing who weren't racing fans before.
Right. It's a problem, because for them, it's problem solving.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
I look at it the same way I look at, like, you know, battle bots. Mm-hmm. Like, not a real sport, but yeah, awesome. I'll take a look. Sure. Why
Super
not?
Super awesome, though.
But I like, you guys watch drone racing? The drone racing's pretty cool.
I've never watched it, to be honest.
You haven't watched it?
No, I don't know why.
It's on, like, you know, the Ocho or whatever.
Okay.
You know, it's on, like, ESPN 12 or whatever the fuck. And it's a bunch of, like, you know, slothy-looking dudes in hoodies, you know, in a warehouse that looks like the American Ninja Warrior factory, you know, and they fly the drones through. But you get the first-person view.
That's cool.
And look at that track.
That is trippy.
That's so boss.
Yeah.
And
is this Burning Man?
Yeah. So this is the one where it's more like airplane racing, you know, it's a bigger outdoor track.
Yeah.
But they have ones that are like inside the warehouse too.
Who was it? Maybe Jaguar. They did a commercial where the guys driving the car had to escape the drones that were chasing them with, like, you know, fake targeting, but it was the little race drones in a warehouse.
Cool.
You know, flying between boxes of it. Was a pretty cool video. It was a good idea.
Sounds like a Jag
commercial, yeah. Although I admit, the Jag driving up the stairs. Oh, it's Range Rover. The Range Rover driving the stairs? That's fucking lame. It is.
No elevator? No problem.
It's super lame. They're driving up the stairs. If you can drive up four stairs, you can drive up 1,000 stairs. What
stairs did they drive up?
It's like some like super long up a mountain set of stairs. It's like, you know, 2,000 steps or whatever it is. But like, he just drives up it in a Range Rover Sport, and he's like crazy excited when he gets up there. But it's like, homie.
Right.
It's stairs. Like, you drive up one story versus 100 stories. What's the difference?
Well, you drove up that hill climb in Hungry Valley in the Range Rover.
Oh, my God.
And that is steep as fuck.
Everybody was like, I don't know if you could do it. And then it was like, all, you know, half bullshit, all season tires, rental Range Rover, don't even care.
It's steep.
Straight up.
It's very steep.
Straight up, like nothing. Drone Racing League, DRL.
It's an interesting future.
It's, and I guess, dude, it's really a good spectator sport. It really works well for TV.
Okay.
Seems like it,
you know?
Okay, so if they can do the first person view on this, I feel like they need to take that and apply it to F1 more. I know F1's getting better, but like, I still think that whenever they cut to like the wide shot of like what the cars are doing coming down the straightaway, it just like pulls you out of it. Mm-hmm. Whereas like MotoGP, I feel like there's something that's more manic about MotoGP and the way they present it. Same with like the super truck competition that Robbie Gordon did for.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It was always on board.
Yeah.
And it just made you feel like, holy shit, I'm in this too. But there's something about F1 where they cut to like a wide and they cut to the thing and you're just like, oh, now I'm slowing down a bit. Like, I think they need more cameras on the cars because they have one.
That's true. Yeah. It's not a spinny one, right?
It's just like the over.
It's just forward. But it's forward.
Just forward. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like in NASCAR, they've got the 360 view. Ones.
Exactly. And MotoGP, they have one looking back. Right?
IndyCar has a 360 view cameras too.
Didn't know that.
Don't watch it.
I think they do because they race on speedways. And that's what those cameras are very good at.
Because they can turn around and look behind them.
Yeah,
because
they can't really spin fast enough for a road course to work. But on a speedway, everything is much slower relative to each other. So if you have a camera that can do a slow pan, it can still be effective. That was nerdy as fuck. Mm-mm. But yeah.
No, it's a good point because it's a challenge of like how do they keep people like us interested in racing mm-hmm. and motorsports when the media we consume more often is changing so much.
Yeah, yeah. I have to leave in 7 minutes. I apologize.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my dad's in town, and I thought in 7 minutes. It's been 54 minutes. It's not like it's been like
that
no
also
time.
Didn't
but
it felt like it's been much.
Yeah, because the good, good times. But I apologize. Do we have questions? Oh, not really, huh? Nobody back a question today. Someone wants to see collabs with smaller established channels, something like 10 Tenths Podcast. Well, I don't know who the 10 Tenths Podcast is, but if you're out there in LA, come on our show.
Are they calling me high profile?
They are.
You're high profile?
You're very high profile.
So high profile, bro.
That is funny. They're like, why don't you have any smaller people? And I'm like,
yeah.
Manuel?
Hello. Case in point.
We've had a bunch of smaller people on.
Totally.
Yeah. I have, and next week's show is all smaller people. Actually, we've got Amelia, who is a YouTuber. We've got Derek, who is a YouTuber, and who was the other show? And we've got Driving While Awesome. All next week.
And Yeti Built Sunday.
Yeah, all of next week is smaller established.
Amelia who?
Hartford. Amelia
okay.
Hartford.
I don't know.
Amelia Earhart. I've got her left finger. And Amelia Hartford is like a chick who's like a builder, driver. Mm-hmm. She's a sweetheart. She's real into 240s and is doing some cool builds with one. And
very cool.
Yeah. That's a good segment. Mm-hmm. Zach, can you please do an ad read for Chassis Ball Patter in the Mid-Atlantic accent?
I just don't know what Mid-Atlantic is.
Oh, Mid-Atlantic is the 40s radio guy fake accent.
Ball Powder.
Yeah.
You know, oh. Where's that? Do we have a material?
I don't have a script. Oh, I don't have any chassis here. Put it on your balls. Okay. See?
Yeah, on the spot.
Yeah, very, very, very much. Did you take a job as a longshoreman or a newspaper salesman or a door-to-door salesman or anything right now because air conditioning hasn't been invented? Are your balls sweaty? Ball powder. Chassis. Put it on. Your balls won't be sweaty. No one will look at them because women hate them right now because this is before everything was progressive and sex was okay. But you'll like them. They won't stick to your leg. Chassis.
That was good on the fly. That was good
okay.
Under pressure. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of pressure. More whiskey, please.
Good under pressure. What's your what are your next vehicles for One Takes, which you're shooting like Monday, right?
17th.
Yeah.
I think it's Wednesday again.
Okay, Tuesday. What are you shooting?
There's a Mark 1 Jetta with a swap. There's an 03 Cobra.
Terminator.
CLS. No, that guy canceled. That's okay.
Oh, welcome to my cancellation life.
Wait, I have the notes thing. Let me pull it up real quick.
I'm excited. You're going to get all this variety.
Dude, it's really cool.
It's really fun.
It's super cool. Like, I can totally understand. I mean, I've always recognized, like, your knowledge of how things feel and drive and what works and what doesn't, like, super increased because you've seen and driven every combination of everything.
Yeah.
It's really rad.
You can learn. You can just learn so much if you can just remember it all. Which is the really hard part.
John Cooper works four-door.
Oof. Okay.
And the Mustang I already said. The guy with the Terminator, which is awesome because I've never driven one before.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and slammed sport truck.
A slammed sport truck?
This guy's got like a two-wheel drive Toyota Coma with like track mons on it, but the engine's nothing. I was like, sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Momentum
that's,
car.
This is where you go. This is where it all goes down.
It's cool.
Oddballs unite.
Yeah, like really it. Happy to see you doing One Takes, man.
I'm
that
really
awesome?
Yeah.
I'm happy he's doing it too. I was I sat on the side of the road on Monday and watched him drive back and forth, and I was like, this is weird as hell. Really, really strange. And at first, you know, like he got, you know, stuck behind a car, had to pull over and live. And I was like, it's been like 18 minutes. Where is he? I hope he's okay. Like, is he all right? Like, is he? I hope he didn't have a crash and that nice guy.
You forget
BMW.
How quick time goes by when you're driving.
Yeah, no, I had no. Yeah, you. Well, you forget how quick it goes by, or I keep looking over at the time on the GoPro. So when I'm driving, I know exactly how much time goes by. When I was standing on the side of the road, I didn't have the first clue how long. I was like, I've been talking to Randy for a minute, but how long has it been? Randy was cool.
Randy's cool.
He was, yeah.
Like, because he's probably listening. So
no, Randy was cool. I'm not. Yeah. We had, after a minute though, we were like. He's been gone for a bit.
Yeah, it's true. I lost track of time a little bit.
It happens when you're having a really good time in the car.
Totally. I was like, man, I wish my car sounded like this 340, but I wish he had my steering, which I usually don't wish on people.
Yeah, that's the problem with driving all those cars is you start to wish other things for your own car and questioning if you have the right car. And
well, I got back and you went, you think you want to get a turbo BMW now? I was like one leg out of the car. I was like, what are you doing to me? Because you're like, you know, Alex Bernstein built that awesome 135.
It's got 500 horsepower. We should have you drive that.
I would love to drive Alex's car. Yeah. Absolutely. It'll make me real sad.
Is it even possible now to make modern BMW steering actually feel?
Well, I think is like it, the M cars do actually.
M2 isn't bad. No,
the M2 is good.
Yeah.
I like the M2. And the M3 is good as well.
Mm-hmm. That's right. When we had the Gingerman, I thought it was totally fine. But I think they just, the market for the 340 doesn't want aggressive steering. And then if they do, they go, we have the M3.
Yeah, you know? But I mean, if you have to buy a 340 for whatever reason.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Is it possible to mod your steering to have more feel? Is there anything out that like that out there?
I would have to Google because it's electronic steering. So
that
may be a thing where tuners start moving towards other kinds of software manipulation.
That'd be nice.
Also depends on the system. Car and Driver, I think, did a good breakdown of the different kinds of hardware that are used for electronic steering. Like where is the robot? Is it on the rack like Porsche's, or is it up on the shaft, which is like the cheapest version? And that's why you lose a lot of the feel. And there's so many components that go into steering. Like when I was looking up the BMW rack I wanted, there were people that had made clones. Someone ripped apart the good one and the clone one, which are, you know, supposed to be the same. And there were different shaft diameter. Yeah. There were different bushings by a little bit. And like all that shit adds up. Mm. So there's a lot of pieces, I think, that go into steering feel.
Good to know.
Yeah.
Lastly, who of all the podcast hosts has the most special car? Also, can Drivers Only Podcast get a shout out? Sure. Drivers Only Podcast.
Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, Manny's got a 911, probably the only one in America. I'm being such a shit. I get so pissed at 911s for no reason. I mean, you're wide body, like, for sure.
My Mustang, I think, is probably the most special. It's on the cover of CarCraft this month.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. It's like a custom thing, and it's rad.
I guess. Yeah, probably that. But you came home from the hospital in your car, so I think that might win.
Yeah, I mean, it is the only one in North America that brought Manuel Carrillo III home from the hospital after he was born. I mean, that's pretty special
stuff.
That's
true. Yeah. What about the 911 that brought Manuel Carrillo II home from the hospital? Because that's a pretty good car, too.
Yeah. That was 7 years before the 911, or the 356.
Even
the 356. Yeah.
Yes. No, it's the same car. This is one of one. Don't you fucking ruin it.
Yeah, it would have had to been a modded Beetle or something like that.
Well, after you fix your 911, maybe you can help me repair my dad's P1800 that he's had since he bought new, and now it is rusting and falling apart.
Oh, no. Poor P1800.
Oh, that thing's been shitty since he bought it, but
it's the most unreliable. That's the thing, Stork has been shitty ever since I can remember it, but yeah, so I want to try and make it factory showroom original again.
It's cool, man. You're going to learn a ton. That's a great experience.
So really happy about the project.
Awesome. Well, I got to wrap this one up. Mm-hmm. I apologize, but enjoy fun employment.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks for having me on.
That freelance life, though.
Yep.
I will see you at Luftkult.
You will.
Luftkult. Mm-hmm. And I guess hopefully at the pre-party as well. What else we got? Do we have to plug anything? Nah, we're not even plugging anything. We're just going to finish it off like this. Mm-hmm. Well, Manuel, what do you want to plug? MC3 Films?
MC3Films.com on the web, MC3 Films on the Instagrams and the Twitters. Yeah.
There it is.
Oh, also I have a podcast too now with Jonathan Klein and Ashton Kemmerling called the Countersteer Podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Is it on Shout Engine also?
It is.
Boy, are we fucking keeping Hayes under the roof over his head, aren't we?
He's listening right now going, I'm not making any money.
I know, right? Stop it. And for those of you who are listening live on YouTube, thank you for joining us. We are doing new podcasts every Tuesday and Thursday. Watch and listen podcast every Wednesday. If you like Joe Rogan, go listen to Joe Rogan. I am on it. It's episode 1022, I believe. Wait, it's on my Instagram. Hang on. It's episode number 1102. Episode 1102 of Joe Rogan Experience. It's 3.5 hours long. So get high and settle in. And it's not just about cars. We talk about a whole bunch of other shit and that's in his life and my life, and it's actually kind of fun. All right. Thanks, guys. Smoking Tire Podcast, powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. You know how to do it. You just go there. You go there, and then you talk into the computer, and then you post it on the internet.
Do it live. Fuck it.
Fuck it. And then you do it live. Hopefully one day we'll do it live full time. We got to figure out what the best way is to make this shit happen. I don't know. But thanks for watching, listening. We'll see you later. Bye.